to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
The second hour now upon us. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, here on the Liberty News Radio Network, the Political Cesspool, broadcasting live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM FM affiliate stations of LNR, and of course simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you can find the live streaming audio of each Saturday night broadcast and the broadcast archives available immediately upon the conclusion of each show. These broadcast archives date back to 2005. Well, here we are, this 31st day of July, 2010. I want to thank, of course, as always, Keith Alexander for his talents and expertise and all of the great attributes that he brings to our all-star stable of talent here on TPC. Keith Alexander certainly largely involved with the stratospheric rise of the political cesspool over the course of the last 6 years in general, but this summer in particular. And another man whose fingerprints are all over the cultivation of this show now joins me, Winston Smith, another co-host. And Winston is on with me to talk about, in depth this hour, the injunction that has been issued by Judge Susan Bolton, basically diffusing all of the good things that were contained in SB 1070 out of Arizona. That is, of course, the famous Arizona immigration law. Winston, how are you?
I'm very well, James. Allow me, please, to take a moment to say how much I enjoyed that first segment with Keith Alexander. You and he, you work well together with all of us, but when you and Keith get together, it's really something special. And I can say personally that any time I get together with Keith and we travel around Memphis taking the ghoulish tour that he always provides, I always come away better for it. We are blessed to have Keith Alexander in our midst, and we are even more blessed that when you and he get together and do that first segment. It's something I look forward to every week.
Well, Keith Alexander is, of course, a fixture during our first hour. He's a member of the hosting staff, along with Winston and Bill Rowland and Eddie Miller. But, you know, it's easy to work well with Keith, Winston. All you got to do is say, Keith, start talking, and he's going to give you a great hour of broadcasting. And he does it without fail and without exception each and every Saturday night. But then we tackled some good issues during that first hour. Talked about a couple of new reviews for the book. Finally, the Southern Poverty Law Center reviewed Racism, Schmacism, and if you want to read their review, as well as some of the good ones from Peter Brimelow, Alex Kurtigick, Jared Taylor plugging in on American Renaissance this week also. Yeah. Lots of big news still taking place as a result of the book. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org to read it, and of course, Keith brings and did bring many other items of interest to our attention tonight as well. But this hour, we're going to focus on what Susan Bolton did, and I saw this pop up, the materializing AP story when this injunction was first levied, and I think the Political Cesspool was the first right-of-center website to issue an opinion on it, and mine was pretty much stoic, I guess. I think anyone who has followed judicial activism over the course of the past 60, 70 years in this country, this is their tactics. This is what they've been doing time and time again since the Brown versus Board of Education decision, and then certainly through the civil rights era, so-called civil rights era, and now it's just, I mean, if you don't expect it, you're not paying attention. Of course she issued the injunction. The sensible SB 1070 law out of Arizona was scheduled to go into effect a couple of days ago. Not anymore. Federal judges who legislate from the bench in order to circumvent the will of the voting public is nothing new. The regime has been using that play since the 1950s, and they'll continue to do it until European Americans unite racially and put an end to it, politically speaking, of course. And as I said in my blog entry, which was picked up by the Occidental Observer, Dr. Kevin McDonald, kind enough to repost it. Enough of this Republican versus Democrat nonsense. Race is what matters. And until white people can understand that fact, as all ethnic minority groups know all too well, we're going to continue to go into the battle with both hands tied behind our backs. And I'm afraid to say it, we're going to continue to lose. And in a nutshell, I'm sure everyone's heard about this now. It's the biggest political issue in the country this week, this injunction. Basically, every good part about the legislation that was enacted by Governor Jan Brewer and the representatives of Arizona, everything that was good about it was basically thrown out single-handedly by this one judge. So a quick recap is the illegal aliens who have no rights as citizens of this country get a United States federal judge to rule in their favor, while the tax-paying citizens of Arizona, the vast majority of whom were in support of this law, get told to take a hike. And my hunch is, if the way our men have responded to these aggressive attacks against our people in recent decades is any indication, I hate to say it, but my hunch is that the law-abiding citizens of Arizona will just suck their thumbs, lick their wounds, and go back to work this week, forgetting that this ever happened. I mean, that's what our people have done ever since the so-called civil rights era, right? That's what we did when a federal judge struck down California's Prop 187 that attempted to prevent illegal aliens from receiving health care, education, and other social services. We have mortgages to pay, and God knows we've got football games to watch. It's too bad that Americans can't control our own destiny anymore. We have jobs, and we don't get paid to be career protesters. And so the question that I have to ask is that the way it's going to be this time, Arizona? Is that the way you're going to respond, the way our people have sadly responded time and time again for so many decades running? Winston, you wrote what I think is the finest article in response to this ruling that has been put out there. We mailed it out to our mailing list today as a promotional piece for tonight's program. It's, of course, been posted on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org for a couple of days. Winston Smith, the line has been drawn in Arizona. I'm going to turn the show over to Winston here in this next segment and let him take us through the thoughts that he pinned in that piece. And it's something I'm telling you, folks, you're really going to want to pay attention to that. But, you know, before we get into that, Winston, and your analysis of this issue, I want to ask you this. You know, here we have, again, I don't think it can be stressed enough, illegal aliens. These are not citizens of this country. They're the ones getting catered to. They're the ones getting pandered to. And, of course, we know why. It's not because these judges or the Obama administration love the Hispanics. They just hate white people. And they know that in ruling for them in this favor, it's going to, you know, help serve as another pawn in their war against the founding stock of this country. But be that as it may, you had these illegal aliens saying that had this injunction not been issued, that they were going to gather together in front of federal court buildings and dare officers to arrest them. Now, can you imagine illegal aliens, non-citizens, threatening, they're already breaking the law by even being here, threatening further lawlessness if they don't get a judge to rule in their favor, and the government's response is, man, we're going to give you exactly what you want. Winston, that's madness.
It is madness, James, but I would like to have seen that happen. I would like to have seen Arizona's response to a bunch of illegal aliens blatantly flaunting their illegality in front of a federal, in front of a courthouse in Arizona. I would have paid a lot to see that happen. But alas, we will not get to see that happen because a federal judge has decided that the will of the criminals has been offended by the will of the law-abiding citizens. Folks, we have to remember always when we deal with this issue that the ones who are claiming the special rights are here illegally. They have broken the law to be here. And we are under no obligation to grant them any concession whatsoever. Now, all this leads to a question, James, that the country is going to have to answer. And I think you answered very well at the end of the little piece that I wrote. Judge Bolton, you remind us of what Andrew Action Jackson said when Chief Justice of the Supreme Court ruled against him.
Got to take a break. What did Andrew Jackson say? Going to let Winston tell you when we come back, and it's a good one.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
A couple of very quick program announcements before we kick it back over to Winston Smith. Don't forget my book, Racism Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda, is on sale and is priced to sell at our website tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go there, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and reserve your copy today and learn how we can start building a movement that wins. And also coming up this third hour, we've got a very special treat for you, something that we're going to be doing something during the third hour tonight that we don't typically do. I think it's going to be fun. And a little something that adds a degree of, I don't know, surprise. It's good stuff. We got it in the works right now. Our board op is working on it. Our engineer's working on it. We're going to be able to pull off this little idea we have without problem here in this third hour. But Winston, you were making a point, and you're about to make an even better point right before that last break, of course, talking about the issue of the second hour, the injunction issued by Judge Susan Bolton against the citizens of the state of Arizona in favor of the illegal aliens. What was that point you were about to make before the break, Winston?
Well, the point was that Andrew Jackson was, by the way, folks, if you don't know a lot about Andrew Jackson, you need to learn a lot about Andrew Jackson. He was truly an American lion. He was a man that we need a lot more Andrew Jacksons these days. But they were trying to remove some Indians from the state of Georgia, and John Marshall, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, ruled against the state of Georgia, and Andrew Jackson, in his inimitable way, uttered famous words that we need to put on a flag or something. He said, John Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it. And we're getting to the point, James. Well, by the way, this proved what you said earlier, that judicial activism is really nothing new. In fact, it was John Marshall, Chief Justice John Marshall, who was one of the most adept practitioners of judicial activism. This is a long time ago, folks. One of his most famous decisions was the Marbury versus Madison decision, which formed the basis for judicial review, which could nullify certain laws that were passed. It formed one of the bases for the checks and balances of the government. But, you know, even if that formed the basis for judicial review, that would apply only to the federal government, not to state decisions. And, James, what this comes down to, and what Judge Bolton has probably unwittingly done, is she has forced upon us a decision that the states are going to have to make. And the decision is this: are the states really states, or are the states merely outposts of the federal government in Washington, D.C.? Do they just take their orders from Washington, D.C., and do the bidding of the federal government? if the states and the state legislatures are nothing more than administrative outposts for the federal government, then they might as well be dissolved because they are useless. You can do things a lot more efficiently by just simply making the state governments, get a notary public or somebody to certify that they are just water carriers for the federal government. We have state governments because the federal government says we should have state governments, and those state governments have been endowed with certain powers. And, James, this decision by Judge Bolton is simply the latest salvo in the battle between state sovereignty and federal tyranny. The states are going to have to make a decision on how they're going to handle these, and I humbly suggest that we take Andrew Jackson's example to heart, and we say if the federal government wants to do something, let them do it. If they want to make this decision, let them do it. This is really nothing more than another mandate from Washington, D.C. upon the poor people of Arizona who have suffered from Washington's failure and, indeed, Washington's predation. We know that the illegal immigrant problem that we have now is a direct result of the efforts of Ted Kennedy, who famously said that his Immigration Act would not affect the fabric of American culture. He said it would really have no effect on America at all. Well, being the liar that he was, he knew good and well that this was going to happen. And now it's happened, and now we have all of these people in the country illegally, and now they are demanding that we do nothing about it. But by the way, James, you know, Susan Bolton, she is a federal judge. You said earlier in talking about her, you said, no, there's no surprise that she ruled this way. She works for the federal government. That means at this moment, she works for Barack Hussein Obama. He is her boss. Did anybody really expect that she was going to go against her boss in this? No.
Well, of course.
Nobody should be stupid enough to expect that.
Of course not. And then, you know, we've brought up this situation way back when, a very similar situation that faced President Andrew Jackson. You had, once again, non-citizens. In this case, I believe it was the Cherokee Indians.
Yeah, it was.
And compared to the illegal aliens in Arizona, the Supreme Court, Chief Justice John Marshall, ruled against the citizens of Georgia. And as you mentioned, and I think it's worth repeating, Andrew Jackson famously replied, Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. So the question is, what happened to the nation that used to produce men like that? I mean, can you imagine what a luxury it would have been? Keep in mind that one of Andrew Jackson was a great man, the bane of the bankers, a great president, a Tennessean.
Yes.
One of his most bitter rivals was Davy Crockett, the hero of the Alamo. Can you imagine the luxury of being able to pick sides? And on one hand, you have Andrew Jackson. The other hand, you have a guy like Davy Crockett. No matter which side you go, you're going to get a great American. Now, you can't even find two great Americans in that are in elected positions, much less two like that. So, you know, that's one thing to consider. Again, I guess it just goes to illustrate how far we've fallen since those days. But
well, James, another thing, in a case like that where you have Andrew Jackson and Davy Crockett running against each other, I would implore them, you know, please work out your differences. You're both really great guys. You know, can we work this out between you? You both have the same goals. Let's just work it out. But James, there's one other point I wanted to make before people start saying, you mean defy a federal judge? I mean, how do you do that? How do you go about doing it? I mean, you could get in trouble for doing that. I remind them that there were illegal aliens, as we said earlier, outside the federal courthouse flaunting their illegality, and they were ready to dare the state of Arizona to arrest them should Susan Bolton had done the right thing and just let this law, this legally enacted law by the people of Arizona, to go into effect. Now, these people were willing to defy a federal judge. They were willing to flaunt their illegality. Now, the question is, will the people of Arizona have the wherewithal to defy a federal judge with their legality? This law was passed legally by the state of Arizona, by their legally elected representatives, acting on the will of the people who elected them to represent them.
Now, Winston, I tell you, and I tell this to the people listening tonight around the world, we're just getting started on this. We're about to really rev it up when we come back for the next segment, the political cesspool's exclusive coverage of Susan Bolton's injunction against SB 1070 continues on the Liberty News Radio Network right after this.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big
girls don't cry. All right, thank you, Art Frith, and welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards and my co-host Winston Smith with me this hour as we talk about what's happening in Arizona this week. It's not good, but perhaps through this adversity, our people will rise to the occasion and show the kind of steely resolve that our men used to have, men like Andrew Jackson, who we were just talking about. I want to echo a point that Winston made a moment ago. People should still remember that SB 1070 out of Arizona is still a lawfully executed piece of legislation and could still be enforced by the police officers and sheriffs and everyone in that state. To do so, however, would mean defying this federal judge, defying the federal government, which these weak politicians aren't going to be keen to do in this day and age. You know, we were talking about the kind of character men like Andrew Jackson had. You still had a lot of character and a lot of courage in the South back in the 60s. They had the courage to stand up and serve as a voice for their people, stand defiantly against the federal government. The South did the right thing in the 60s. That's not that long ago, certainly more recent than Andrew Jackson's exploits. Of course, we know what happened in the South. Federal troops were sent in. These, you know, dastardly orders were enforced at the point of a bayonet. But what are the odds that Obama would send in federal troops to make sure Arizona police officers don't ask illegal aliens for their ID? I mean, at least in the South, the blacks that were in the minority were at least American citizens. These people aren't even American citizens. So would Barack Obama do as the presidents from that era did and send in federal troops to make sure, in this case, Arizona police officers don't ask illegal aliens for their ID? I mean, let's look at it. We, the actual citizens of this country, we have to show our ID every time we vote, board an airplane, rent a hotel room, buy a beer, get a speeding ticket, which for me happens quite often, etc. Why is it unconstitutional? And that's what Susan Bolton said when she issued this injunction. She said it was unconstitutional to ask a non-citizen to show their identification. Why is it unconstitutional? Is it unconstitutional when we have to show our ID many times a day, every day, to prove who we are? And how do these illegal aliens have any constitutional rights to begin with? All these are questions that need to be asked. And quite frankly, Winston, I'm not seeing it asked anywhere else but right here on the Political Cesspool radio program. Again, this is why we have become as big as we've become. We articulate the feelings for the majority. And I hope that the lawmakers of Arizona will do the same. They did the right thing in passing SB 1070, a law that mirrored and reflected the will of the majority. They need to hold strong and, yes, indeed, defy the federal government. Well, Winston, you wrote an excellent piece. We posted it to the website. We sent it out today as promo for tonight's show. We sent it out to the email list. The line has been drawn in Arizona. You can read it verbatim if you want to, or just kind of break down the key points of it. People can read it in its entirety at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I tell you, you should, because I think it is, again, the best piece out there in response to this injunction that you're going to find. Winston, what did you have to say in it?
I first laid the groundwork saying that that it seems like a straightforward, reasonable, and a very American thing to do. We, the citizens, we elect other citizens from among us to elect us in a legislative body. And when an issue comes up for a vote, the elected officials vote according to the will of the people they were elected to represent. The choice, the side of the vote that garners the majority of that choice that garners the majority of the vote becomes the policy or the program or the law. And the presiding official, like a governor or president, then certifies the will of the people by way of a law. Now, should an issue arise that runs counter to the will of the people, then a judge hears the case and decides whether or not the will of the people, as expressed in the law, has been violated. If a judge does anything beyond that, then that judge's action trespasses the rights of the citizens who express their will through legally enacted legislation. This is what has happened in Arizona. And I wrote James, to put it bluntly, a judge has decided that the will of criminals has been violated by the will of the citizens. And folks, I want to remind you that this is one of the problems of having judges with lifetime appointments. You can't do anything about them. Now, we have presidents who are limited to two terms, and of course, Congress has seen fit not to enact term limits on their own. But you know, a long time ago, Patrick Buchanan, good friend of our show, wrote a book called Right from the Beginning. And in the at the end of that book, he lays out some suggestions for America. And one of them is reconfirmation of Supreme Court justices every 7 years. And I don't see what's wrong with that on the federal level. And part of that reconfirmation process should include legislatures from the states over which these judges rule. We've seen far too often, beginning with John Marshall, how federal judges will usurp the sovereignty of the states, and it needs to be checked somehow. Of course, the most straightforward way to do it is to follow Andrew Jackson's example. As we said, if the judge wants to rule, let the judge enforce. And as I said earlier, these illegal aliens, they were sitting outside the federal courthouse ready to defy the federal judge, even though they were there illegally. And yet the legal, law-abiding citizens of Arizona, somehow they haven't yet perked up the wherewithal to defy this federal judge in their legality. This is a question of a bunch of criminals. And that's what they are. They are criminals. They've broken the law. They have said we are going to defy a judge, even though they're illegal. It's time for the good people of Arizona to say we are legal. We're going to defy this judge. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you know, James, if Judge Bolton had ruled rightly, if she had exercised her power correctly and left SB 1070 alone, then those people, those illegals, would have protested. Some of them might have been arrested. But they certainly would have been lionized by the left. The left would have called them heroes and patriots. They would have referred to Henry David Thoreau's little essay called "Civil Disobedience." They would have been hailed as martyrs in the Catholic churches to which a lot of illegal aliens go. They probably would have put up little statues of them with their hearts exposed, like you see. But James, in all this, I think there's one thing that has been ignored, and I want this to be placed front and center. And it's this. And here's what I wrote of it in this piece. This judge's decision racially profiles every white police officer in the state of Arizona. Since anti-citizen forces have said the Arizona law is racial profiling, and since racial profiling is said to be racist, and since only white people can be racist, as you would read in the book Racism Schmacism, order your copy at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, this law makes every white police officer a racist. And the hypocrisy of the racial profiling accusation is absolutely lost on those who spew it. White police officers cannot profile suspected criminals, but white police officers can be racially profiled. This is something that should gall all of us, James. It should especially gall the police officers of Arizona, who have this federal judge working for Barack Hussein Obama, who hates Americans, who hates white Americans, saying that every white police officer in Arizona is a racist, and we have to stop these racist white police officers.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the political cesspool, and this is the kind of commentary you're going to get, the likes of which you're not going to find anywhere else, no matter how long and how hard you look. And this is the kind of commentary that I think more accurately serves as a reflection, the feelings of the people. Any programming on Fox News, CNN, I don't care how well-funded some of these so-called mainstream press entities are, they're not giving you the unadulterated truth like you're going to find here on the cesspool. We do have a caller, Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts. He's been waiting very patiently to give his opinion on what we're talking about right now, and I want to turn the floor over to him. Jeff, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, yes. I have some good things to say. Now, I was thinking about the border and what's really going on. Now, you see, everything has a root. I have a quote from Robert Mugabe, which is right over here. It says, our party...
Jeff, sorry about that. I didn't know we were coming up on break quite that quickly. Sit tight. We're going to get to you right at the top of the next segment.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. We are continuing on here during this our second hour, focusing exclusively on the injunction ordered by Judge Susan Bolton against the citizens of Arizona. With regard to SB 1070. And right before that last break, we had Jeff on from Massachusetts, and he was about to give us his take on it. Jeff, the floor once again is yours.
Oh, yes. Number one, go to Brainy Quote. You'll find all kinds of great quotes by Robert Mugabe along with other people. And it says right here, our party must continue to strike fear in the heart of the white man, our real enemy. Then you go over to the motto of La Raza, which is, for the race, everything, outside the race, nothing. Now, there's a movie coming out called Machete in September. When this movie comes out, I have a bad feeling about this film. Alex Jones talked about that on his program. So here's my total comment, is that if we keep the borders open and keep allowing illegals to come in and not have states do what they want to do, you're going to see secession, internal civil war in this country, and America might even declare war on the third world if we have a president that's any good. But then again, that could be worse than what's going on right now. Or you could have a complete fascistic dictatorship. So it's either you pay now or you pay later, and maybe pay later is even worse than paying now, because any way you look at it, it's going to be messy. So nip the problem in the bud, get rid of all these communist liberal judges that want to subdue this country and bring this country down. And look at the root of the Obama administration. Obama is in the same cast as a Robert Mugabe. And that's pretty much all I have to say, because you see, I fear that we're preaching to the choir. I talk to people at my workplace, but as long as it doesn't affect them, they could care less. And that's the problem in a nutshell. Reporting live from Massachusetts, Jeff from Chelsea signing out. Have a good night.
I tell you what, Jeff, I appreciate that. Winston, you want to tackle any of his comments before issuing your own summation on this very volatile topic?
I think we found another co-host, James.
Hey, we're almost ready to field the basketball team. We got a starting lineup right now. We got five players, me, you, Keith, Eddie, and Bill. So we just need to round out the roster, and we can apply for an statement into the NBA.
They never let us in. We're not diverse enough. We're all white.
Not at all.
Well, James, but,
seriously though, Winston,
folks, I know we have just a little bit of time left in this segment, but you know, I got enough of theory out of the way. Now it's time for action. We keep telling people we need to act. We need to act. We need to act. And you know, I'm going to give you some suggestions that every single man, woman, and child in Arizona and in the United States, you can do these things. And I want our listeners to start doing things. It doesn't matter how small you think it is. It's not insignificant. Here's what you do. If you are assaulted or wronged by an illegal alien, then you should demand redress by every legal means and hold accountable every elected official who is complicit in the crimes of the illegals they support. That means, folks, if an illegal alien assaults you, you need to sue. You need to take that illegal alien to court. You need to prosecute them, and you need to prosecute the people who are making it impossible for the will of the citizens to be enforced. You need to hold those elected officials accountable. Sue them. And folks, if you're a lawyer, especially if you're an attorney out there, then you need to start serving your people. You need to file lawsuits against any person, organization, or agency that is against citizens of the United States. And folks, we all need to do this. We need to recognize who our champions are. We need to recognize our heroes. And we need to praise their virtues and their accomplishments. And in our enemies, we need to make a conspicuous display of their vices and their offenses. We need to point out promiscuously what they are doing, like Susan Bolton. We need to point out exactly what she has done. I've given you a brief list. I'm sure you can come up with your own of the things she has done with this ruling. You need to focus on our people. You need to do everything you can to support our people. And that means you make unwelcome everyone and anyone who is against us. That means if you see an obviously illegal out there, and I see them every day, and I'm sure you do too, go ahead. Give them a filthy look. Look at them suspiciously. Make them understand that they are not welcome around you. Everything should be put on the table, everything from dirty looks to civil disobedience. I will rule out violence except in self-defense. We at the political cesspool, we are the arch enemies of violence except in self-defense. But then when you engage in self-defense, you do so viciously and efficiently. When I say everything is on the table, I am not advocating violence except in self-defense. But folks, nothing, no contribution is too small. No effort is too inconsequential. The citizens of every state that is considering enacting laws similar to Arizona's SB 1070, you can demand that your legislatures do so as quickly and as simultaneously as possible. What's this going to do? Well, it's going to force the anti-citizen organizations to spread their resources. The goal is to make them spend. They did that, illegals did that in Utah, I think it was, or was it Nebraska? I think it was in Nebraska.
Yeah, Fremont, Nebraska.
They basically sued the town and kept them and could no longer pay for the lawsuits, so they had to drop their law against illegal aliens. We can do the same thing. But more important than that, it's going to establish the message that we, the people, the citizens of the United States, demand that our government serve us and not the people who have no right to be here in the first place, much less supplant our legally enacted laws. And by the way, while I'm at it, while I'm on the subject of taking action, I would suggest that you if you have money, then you should contribute to an organization that serves our people and has proven to effective. I humbly suggest the Political Cesspool, but there are other good ones out there. You know who they are. Folks, do something. If you can write, then you should bombard your local newspapers with letters to the editors. If you can speak, then you should be present at any forum that's available. If you have a computer and printer, then you should blanket your area with flyers and leaflets. You have to do something. At this point, it is the duty of every American citizen to seek out the place in this battle where they can have their greatest chance for success and to carry it out to the best of his or her ability. Folks, the people who hate you mean business. They mean what they are doing. They are deadly serious. And unless you meet them with even greater seriousness, they are going to dominate you. Your children will not have the future that you thought you might have. We are fighting for our lives, folks. It's time to take it seriously.
My friends, the ideas that Winston just shared with you, many of them are documented in the incredible article that he wrote exclusively for thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I encourage you to read it, not only read it, but share it with others. He gives you a pretty stout prescription, and I think if you follow some of the steps that Winston just lobbied for, we'll be a lot further down the road in ensuring that
James,
we'll have a favorable outcome here. Yeah.
If people read this article, they will be excited and pleased to order the book Racism Smishism by James Edwards. Order your copy at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. $24.95 plus shipping and handling.
Winston gets a commission for every book sold within 5 minutes in either direction of his shameless promotion of the book there. So
that's hard for me to do that fast. It's difficult.
Of course, the book is for sale. And you know, in all seriousness, the proceeds of the sales of that book go directly to keeping this show on the air. So when you buy the book, you're not only getting something that I think, in all earnestness, will help you, help us build a movement that wins. The proceeds of the sales of the book keep us on the air. So it's a win-win situation all the way around. You keep us going, and you get a great product in return. And
it's not like the SPLC when they get contributions, it goes directly into their investments to line the pockets of Mark the Pocket Potok and Mo Dees and Heidi Byrick and the president. I think his name is Cohen or something. That should tell you all you need to know about that organization right there. Every dime that comes into the political cesspool's coffers stays in the political cesspool coffers for production of the show, for travel to speaking engagements. Nobody in this organization makes a dime off of what we do, folks.
Yeah, it all
goes directly to overhead.
Our few hundred dollars a month compared to their few hundred million, and still we stand toe-to-toe. And in fact, I think take some ground from them. Quite often, we are doing the job that everyone should be doing. And if you appreciate the work that we do on this program, we ask you to support it. Winston Smith, thank you for joining me this second hour and helping me dissect the developing situation out in Arizona. We're going to take a break and come back with an interesting third hour right after this. And it's been the rolling.